Come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none has ever.
Well, but there's always one, or always something about certain messages that just stick out in your hearts and minds. Just give you a desire and a need to realize that there's some things that you need to do that you're not doing. And one of the things that I believe, if we all would be honest with ourselves, we don't pray enough about the things that we ought to and need to pray about. Amen?
Amen.
Would y'all agree with me tonight? How many of y'all pray and know that you pray enough? You don't have to be told. You don't have to be encouraged. You don't have to be inspired to pray, because you know that you pray about everything that you do. How many would be honest about that? Brother, you would say that you're honest enough that you pray enough about everything that you do. Amen. You're beyond most of us that are here tonight. Amen. And praise God for that. If you can say that, you have that testimony. But I believe most of us that are here tonight would be say that we don't. And I know that I don't. But what I want us to see tonight is, as I think about it, and you think about all of the things that are going on in the world today, with things that are going on that are immoral. We talked about, somebody was mentioning to me again tonight about the fact of all of the things that are going on in our society, and all of the turmoil and all of the killings, all the mistreatment and all of the misnomers of things that have been gone. You know, we can't change people, but God can. And if we are, as people, we're going to do anything that will be pleasing to God, and we want to see God do something in our lives and in the lives of others, the thing that is going to do is we have to be prayer warriors. Amen? Amen. We can't change people's hearts. We can't change people's influence. We can't change the White House. We can't change the Blue House. We can't change the Poor House. But God can, if we would pray for those needs that are out there, that God will meet the needs of people. Because he's telling us here in this area of scripture that we need to pray for all men. Amen?
Amen.
That means all men. We need to be in prayer. And I want us to see tonight what he does here is he talks about, now you think about Timothy tonight, and most of us would say, if you're going to talk to us tonight, Brother White, about prayer, why would you go to Timothy and talk about prayer? Why would you go to Timothy if you're going to look at prayer? Why would we go to Timothy and look at prayer? When we think about Timothy and the book of Timothy, as it's written to Timothy, is a young what? He's a young what? He's a young preacher. Amen. He's a young boy. He's a young man, but he's a young preacher. But I believe what God, what Paul is writing to Timothy about is important for the very fact that Timothy has a great task ahead of him. Amen. Here he is, a young preacher going to be pastoring a church. And you know, when you pastor a church, there are so many needs in the church. And Paul is telling him something. This one thing I tell you that you ought to do, and that is you ought to pray. You ought to pray. If you're going to be successful in your Christian life, one of the things that you and I as Christians need to do, we need to pray. We hear Brother Griff talk about it Sunday night, and just as plain and simple, whenever we leave God out of things that we're doing, nothing happens until God gets involved. And if we're going to get God involved in our lives, the way that we do that is to go to God humbly in prayer and ask him on our behalf or on someone else's behalf to do something for them or for us in a situation that we're in, because we want to get God involved in it. Because when we leave him out, nothing really happens until you get God involved in what needs to be done. And here he's writing to Timothy, and I believe it's pertinent to us tonight. If Timothy needed to pray, I believe you and I as Christians, we need to pray as well. And the priority of prayer, I want us to think about here. Here's in, and most of us are familiar with this area of scripture. When you think about 2 Chronicles 7:14, many of y'all know that verse by heart, but how many of us actually practice 2 Chronicles 7:14? How many of us actually do that? 2 Chronicles and chapter number 7 and verse 14 says this: if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In other words, God is telling us even there, if my people who are called by my name, the Christian people, he's not talking to the lost. He's not talking to a lost world. But he says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven. There will be some great revival. There will be some great things going on in our lives and in the world and society that we live in if we would humble ourselves and pray. Humble ourselves and pray. It's not a prideful thing, but we would humble ourselves and pray. I want us to notice, first of all, as I was listening to Dr. Chappell, and there's so many things tonight that he talked about as he talked about this area of scripture. But the reason that he brought it up on a Wednesday night was that they were praying, or they were having a prayer meeting just like we do on a Wednesday night. But they were praying prior to the conference that we went to just a couple of weeks ago. And they were praying how he wanted the people at Lancaster Baptist Church to get busy about praying about the conference and asking God to do something not only in their lives, but to do something in the lives of all of those people that would be coming to that conference during that week time that they were going to meet together, that God would meet with them. And we would have a sense of the Spirit of God and the presence of God in the meetings while we were there. And I believe we saw that moving of the hands of God while we were there at the conference. But why not just stop there? Why don't we come together tonight as Christians and gather around each other in prayer and ask God to do something in our lives here tonight and today and in the days to come? Why can't we do that? And I believe it's necessary. If we're going to see our lives change and see a change take place in this society, it's not because we're going to picket at Washington, D.C. It's not that we're going to go down to the courthouse in Tucson and get something done. We're going to get anything done. We're going to have to be Christians that will get on our knees and pray and ask the God of heaven to do something you and I cannot do. We can't change people's heart, but God can. And God is requiring of us as Christians to get involved in doing that. I want us to notice, first of all, as Paul is writing to young Timothy, one of the things that he says here is, I exhort thee, or I exhort therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession and giving of thanks be made to all men. I want us to notice, first of all, there's a priority in prayer. It should be the first thing that you and I ought to do in our lives every day, every moment. You can say you got to pray every morning. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. It is an attitude of prayer to realize that the priority of prayer is essential. He says, I exhort. In other words, he's admonishing Timothy to pray. You're going to face some difficult times. Everybody's not going to like what you want to do. Everybody's not going to agree with what you stand for. Everybody's not going to be on your side. There may be some separation between family members. There may be some separation between wives and husbands, kids, the people that we work with, everything. All of those things are prevalent in your life, and all of those things were prevalent in the church. And we need to pray. He said, I exhort you, therefore, to pray. There's a priority. There's a necessity. There's a need for prayer. And I believe as Christians, it ought to be the first priority in our lives. It ought to have the first priority. You know, many of us would probably say, Pastor White, I get up every morning and I pray. I hope that is your testimony tonight that you do that. Because if you don't, it ought to be something that you do. Because if you're not, you're lacking the power of God on your life before you can go out and do anything else. You need to be in prayer before you even go and talk to your wife. You need to be in prayer before you even talk to your husband. You need to be in prayer before you even talk to your kids. Because that's something that you need to do. And prayer is something that you need to engage in. And he's saying it to Timothy. The priority here is that you ought to pray. That is the first thing that a Christian ought to do, is to get up every day and go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Before you can do anything else. I tell our young people, one of the verses that you ought to look with is Psalms 119 and verse what? What is the one that I gave y'all? 18. What does it say, Jeffrey? Open thou my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. If I'm going to go in prayer and I want God to speak to my heart, I need to pray that kind of a prayer and ask God to open my eyes. In other words, I need to ask God to open my heart up so that I can receive the things that you want me to have in prayer. But I also want to receive it from the Word of God. Because when I approach the Word of God, I already prayed and asked God to give me something because I need something for the day. I need something that's going to whet my appetite so that I can go out and face the world. And prayer is the priority that we ought to have. And when you think about, when you make that first choice in your day, every day, it ought to be prayer is the first thing that you ought to engage in. Because it's a priority. Paul is exhorting Timothy that he ought to do that. I want y'all to notice something tonight. Think about who he's writing to. First of all, he says men ought to pray. And one of the things that men ought to do in the church, we ought to be the first ones to get on our knees and pray. Most of the time when we think about prayer meetings, it's the women that pray. It's not the men that get together and have a prayer meeting. It's women getting together and pray. And I'm not saying that we ought to neglect the women's prayer, but men ought to be the ones that pray. If we're going to see the Spirit of God and the power of God in our families, our homes, and our church, we need men to be men of prayer. And it ought to be the first priority in our lives. Secondly, when you think about this priority, he noticed I want us to notice three things tonight if we don't do anything. First of all, as I thought about this message, I think prayer ought to have the preeminence in our lives. I think prayer not only ought to have the preeminence in our life, but we ought to be persistent in our prayer and we ought to have a passion for prayer. Amen. Would y'all agree? Those are three things that I want to think when we think about priority that I want to share with us tonight. When I think about young Paul or Paul writing to Timothy, one of the things I was telling our young people last Sunday, when we're talking about preeminence, it ought to be the first thing. It ought to be the very first thing that we do. He says, I exhort you. In other words, he's admonishing Timothy to pray and to be involved in prayer. So the preeminence of prayer ought to be the first thing in the Christian life. There's a preeminence that ought to take place. And there's a need for prayer. And the preeminence is before anything else that we do, we need to pray. He says, first of all, we need to pray. Look at verse number one. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, what? Prayer, supplication and prayer, intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. So there's a priority here, but the preeminence here is prayer ought to be first. And most of us, when we go to do something, prayer is the last thing that we do. We'll go out and do it, and then we'll ask God to bless it. Why not ask God first and see what he would have me to do? And then we know we blessed because we're doing what he would have us to do. Instead of God had to straighten it all out because we done messed it all up because we chose to do what we think is right and we leave God out the picture. And it ought to have the preeminence in our lives. The first time that you buy a car, how many of us have ever prayed when we bought our first car? Most of us just go down that wide open, get the deal. If it look like it, if it's running, ain't no oil coming from it. Probably if we know anything about a car, we buy it. And the color, and it looks good. Amen. We ain't ask God nothing about it. How about those when you choose your first husband? How many of you young ladies are going to be praying about the husband that you're going to take? How many of you young people are praying about that? You know, we've been praying for our girl since the what? Day one. Huh? I'm sorry, not the first husband. The only husband you ought to have. Amen. Don't y'all get no seconds yet, amen. Just get the first one. Stick with that one. 34 years and we still hanging in there together, amen.
Amen.
But how many of us have ever really did that? Most of us, to be honest, I wasn't saved when I got married. But I tell you this, if I had to do it all over, I don't know if I want to lose her, but I know this, that I would have prayed about it, amen. Because I know that, and I would tell any young person that's getting married, you ought to pray about it and get God's blessing upon it before you do anything else.
Amen.
That ought to be, they ought to have the preeminence. But most of the time, we don't do that. We go and do that. We do what we want to do first, and then we ask God to bless it. So there's a preeminence here that he said, of all things, first of all, you ought to do is pray. You ought to do is pray. There are so many decisions that we make every day in our lives that we don't ask God one bit about what we should do. How about a job? We're going to take a job and we know that on Sunday nights we can't be in church. Or Sunday morning we can't be in church. Wednesday night we can't be in church. And I'm not trying to say that every job that I've ever had or every job you ever get, you ought to, but that ought to be your prayer. And it ought to be the prerequisite of getting the job ought to be that it won't interfere with you being in the house of God. Most of us will take the job and never ask God anything about it. We'll just take it because we want a job. And that may be the case. But you know what? You ought to pray about it. And I believe if you pray and seek God's face, you may have to give up some things, but you ought to let them know this is what I want. This is where I stand. And if they don't want to agree with it, maybe that ain't what God has for you. And there's nothing wrong with that because he may have something even better for you. I think about Brother Griffin. I didn't think about this until I'm just coming to this point in time, how he was willing to give up his home, move out to Las Vegas, and ended up with a good job, kids in school, free, a bigger house than the one he gave up. Because he sought God in the very fact he made it preeminence. He prayed about it. And when you pray about it, you ought not have a problem with it. Because if you do it, you're in the will of God. And he says pray is what pleases God. Preeminence. It ought to have the preeminence. And I want us to notice something. We're doing a Bible study. Let's turn over. I want to give somebody, turn over, and I want you guys to read these verses of scriptures when we think about, first of all, we see the preeminence here, the importance of it. Everything that we do, we ought to be praying about. We ought to ask God to help us to face the world that we're going to face. Help us to be a witness. Help us to deal with the boss. Help us to deal with clients. Help us to deal with the kids today. Help us to deal with the problems and the issues of life. That ought to be the preeminence, and the first thing we ought to do is pray. I want us to turn over. Somebody turn with me. I have them written down, but I want us to turn over. I want us to see something. When we think about persistence, who comes to mind when you think about being persistent when it comes to prayer? Somebody tell me, who comes to your mind? Who? Daniel. Hannah. Hannah prayed for what? A son. Daniel prayed for what?
Everything.
He did. He was persistent. And in Daniel chapter 6 and verses 10 to 11, the Bible says that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. I think that's pretty persistent when it comes to prayer. I think Hannah was persistent in her prayer. She couldn't have a child, and she wanted a child so bad that they thought she was drunk. They thought she was crazy because she was just at the feet of the man of God praying because she wanted a child. And Daniel had this testimony that he prayed 3 times. And you know, when they wrote the decree, Daniel didn't go away from that which he was already accustomed to doing. And when we make it a habit of praying, nothing ought to deter us from praying because that's something we do anyway. And if they get caught and they want to kill me, they want to murder me for serving my God, then I'm willing, so be it. And look, he was so persistent in his prayer, they knew exactly where to find him. They didn't have to go looking for him. They were just waiting. We know he's going to be up there in the door or in the window looking out, praying his God 3 times a day. He was just as persistent as you could get when it comes to pray. Most of us, we do good. And I saw a thing at the Advantage West, the icing on the cake. We might do even a little bit better. We pray a little bit in the morning, and we might pray a prayer before we go to bed. But you know what? There's an old saying, it takes 3 to thrive. We need to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I believe if we're going to have a consistent prayer life, we need to pray more than 1 time a day. Yeah. And I ain't talking about just for your food. Most of us eat 3 times a day. Some people probably don't have 3 meals. But you ought to pray at least 3 times because you ought to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Amen? But if you add the icing to the cake, you ought to pray and have prayer before you even go to eat. And then at lunchtime, most of us, we go out and eat and glutton ourselves. But some of y'all don't. Some of y'all might take your lunch. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with having a prayer time at lunchtime. You know, some people might say, well, why you like that? When I go to lunch, I like to go in the lunchroom and the break room. I like to be in there all by myself. I go in there purposely just to be in there by myself. I don't want to go in there and listen to all them conversations about everything that's going on in the world. I like to go in there and listen to the Bible. I might listen to a preaching message. I might just be in there praying about something. But a lot of times when it comes to the third time, I fail too, unless there's a need. But it ought to be persistent. If I'm going to be persistent, I ought to pray. Let's think about here, in every one of the books of the Bible, not every one of the books, but in every one of the books that Paul wrote, he mentioned prayer. And let's look at some of those tonight. Someone turn over the first I got them written down. I'm going to have y'all read them. And I want you all to see how when we're talking about here is Paul. He was facing many trials in his life. He was facing many turmoils in his life. And every church that he was writing to or every church that he started, there was problems in those churches. But Paul does something I think every one of us as Christians ought to do. First of all, I want someone to turn and read for me. I had them written down here. Let me find them here. Read for me Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 16. Someone find Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 1. Colossians 1 and verse 4. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. And so when you get there, someone read those for me. And we're going to look at those tonight. And I want us to see something as we go through here. We're in 1 Timothy, but let's go back and we'll look at, let's see the first one. Who gave the first one to? Miss Ephesians 1:16. Ephesians 1:16. You have it, Julianne? Okay, Miss Katie, you got what?
First Thessalonians.
Okay, Miss Julie has Ephesians 1:16. Who has Philippians 1? All right, let's go with Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse. Let me turn it to. I thought I had copied them out, but I guess I did. First, Philippians 1 and verse 16. Read that for Miss Julianne. What did he say there? Read that for me again. I missed it, Miss Julie. Read verse 15. 16. So what is he saying to the church at Ephesians? He's praying for them. Because he had a persistent Christian life. So we see that he was praying. He says, wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto the saints, he says, I cease and not in giving what? Giving thanks. So if he didn't cease in doing it, he was what? He was persistent in doing it. It means that we need to be consistent. They ought to have preeminence, but we ought to be persistent when it comes to prayer. Who has the next one? Philippians chapter number 1. Let me turn over there. Ephesians. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 4. Can you read that one for me? So he says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making what? Requests with joy. So Paul here was praying for the church at Philippi. Who has Colossians 1 in verse number 4? Yes, Jeremiah. I missed one. Jeremiah, back up. Read verses 2, 3, and 4. Amen. And here he is again at the church at Colossians. He's doing what? He's praying. Who has 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1? Miss Katie? Let's see. Let me turn over there. I thought I had written first, read verses 1, 2, and 3. So here we see in all of these churches, as we were talking about early, when you think about his writing to all of these churches that he was addressing, what did he do for them? He prayed for them. But always. And he had joy in praying for them because he knew that they were facing some things in their lives and they needed prayer. Not just the things that he was addressing, but he knew that they needed prayer. And we need to be persistent in our prayer life and praying for one another. How many of y'all prayed for me this morning? I got two texts today from people that said they prayed for me, and I appreciate the fact that they did. I need y'all's prayer. You know, I tell you one, to me, one of the hardest things is to come before people that you know and people that you love that see you in and out every day. It's different when you're the pastor of the church, but it's a lot different when you're just the assistant. I don't mean to say it lightly, when you the assistant pastor of the church. There's so many other things that go on that pastor deals with that I don't have to deal with. But there's things that I deal with every day in my life that he don't have to do. He don't have to go to a public job every day. Do you get challenged in your job every day? I was telling my wife, I said, it seems like when it's times that I'm trying to prepare my mind and thoughts and studying to times that I get to preach, that everything in the world seems like it happens. The dog sick, the cat sick, the car breaks, the battery needs changing, the children need this, the work is, everybody's is at each other's throat. Nobody shows up to work, or you the only person there, or they don't want to hire. I mean, just all of those things, they don't want to work. And you're faced with all of those things every day in your life. And you know what you need? You need prayer. You need to ask God to help you to be able to deal with those things. And we need to be persistent in our asking. We should never take for granted that just because I prayed yesterday, that's sufficient. Because the Bible just told us that praying is something that does what? It pleases God. And it shows some humility and a humbleness about us because he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and you're going to hear from heaven. It may not be what you want to hear, but you're going to hear from heaven. And you're going to get an answer. And we ought to want God's presence, and we ought to want God's answer in our lives. And what I like about Paul was, he says, I cease not to pray for you always when I heard how your faith was in the Lord. Because if we learn how to pray, I tell you this, your dependency will be on God and not on yourselves. Because when we don't pray, we're telling God, we don't really need you. I got this in the bag. I can handle this. I can do this on my own. I don't really need you, God. So I'm going to just put you off to the side, and I'll come and get you when I need you. But you know what? You need him more than you think you need him.
A lot more.
And if we just be honest, the preeminence of prayer, the priority is number one, the preeminence of prayer. And we need to be persistent. Timothy or Paul was consistent in his prayer life. He prayed. Our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, he prayed. It is an example to us. Timothy, Paul is saying, you need to pray. And that ought to be what you do. And we ought to have a passion for it. How many of us tonight say that we have a passion for prayer? Amen. And we ought to have a passion. We ought to have a passion for it. It ought to be the first thing that we do. But if we be honest, most of the time, and there may be some exceptions, we don't always do that. I've made many mistakes. I've done many things that I never sought the Lord first. And young people, before you just make a mess of everything, get in the habit of praying. That's what I want the young people that we minister to, my wife and I, as teenagers, we want our teens to be in prayer, to learn how to pray. It should be more than just asking for the things that we want. And you know what? We're selfish when we only ask for our own needs. God wants us to pray for what? One another. He says pray for all men. All men need prayer. So we see, first of all, the priority of prayer. I thought I'd get to the second point. I ain't got my watch on. But I want us to notice, secondly, the priority, but I want us to notice the practice. What are we supposed to pray for? He says, first of all, supplication. Supplication. Let me read the definition so I don't get it all messed up. Amen. But supplication and prayer, and there's a lot of things here when you think about the things that Paul is writing to Timothy about when he talks about prayer. And supplication really is the petition in prayer. Supplication, in other words, is the word emphasized the petition aspect of prayer. I need to be petitioning to God in prayer. While prayer is more than petition, one will not do much praying without petition. Wow. So supplication means I need to petition who? I need to petition God. So he tells us, and we need to do this every day, we need to make it a practice in our Christian life to practice supplication, petitioning to God. Whatever it is in your life that you have a need of, and I need you to petition God for me as well. Amen. One another, because he's saying, I want you to do that for all men. So here we see the importance of this prayer as he's writing to Timothy. He says, wherefore, let me turn back over there. That ain't the right place. I'm going to read y'all something else, and y'all think that I'm doing heresy. Amen. Let me turn back over here to 1 Timothy, back to our text. Amen. All right, here we are. He says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication and prayer be made for all men. So the idea here of supplication is that we are to petition in prayer. And that's one of the things that we need to do. It carries the idea of offering a request for a felt need. That's what supplication is. So that's what we ought to do. And that's the practice of prayer. That's how we ought to be praying when he's talking about praying here as he's talking to Timothy. And the second thing here is prayers. In other words, it has the idea here in 1 Timothy, the idea of prayer here, the word prayer points to the one to whom we make our petition to. And the person that we make our petition to is God. The word supplication simply speaks of the petition aspect of prayer, which I am making a request to someone, and that is God. But prayer says that the petition that I'm making is directed to God. I want God to do something in my life. That's what the prayers are, is to petition God, and a supplication or a petition to God for prayer. And it's to him because I want him to work and bless in whatever it is that I'm asking prayer for. So that is what we should do. Secondly, when we think about the practice. And next thing we see here in this verse, he tells us, therefore, he says, the first of all, supplication, prayers, and intercession. Intercession has the idea here, the people in the prayer. Intercessory prayer is not all for self, but it is also praying on behalf of others. We want to pray on other people's behalf. If I could suggest that one of the things that Paul enjoyed was to pray for those that he was ministering to on their behalf, that they would do what? That they would grow in their knowledge and understanding of what God is doing in their lives. And that was one of his greatest requests, was for those that he was writing to. If we go back to 1 Thessalonians, if we could go back to Colossians, we could go back to Philippians, if we could go back to Colossians, when Paul is writing, he says, every time that I think of you, I cease not to pray that you would grow in your knowledge and understanding of what God is doing and what God is speaking about. Because that's what he wanted to happen in their lives. And so he was interceding. But who does the greatest intercession for us? Jesus Christ. He's at the right hand of the Father. Have you ever been to the point sometimes in your life that you didn't know how to pray? Aren't you glad that Jesus, who knows exactly what we need, is our intercessor? Mm. He's right at the throne of God praying Amen. For you, because you don't always know how you ought to pray. But he knows exactly what you need. And when we fail to pray, I believe Jesus still makes intercession for us. That's my child. He's just ignorant this morning. He ain't get up and do what he was supposed to do. But he's my child. I love him anyway. I died for him because you know what? He did. And he know that we're going to fail. But aren't you glad that he is a God of mercy? He's a God of just. He's a God of faithfulness. He's a God of love. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy who has let no less like we tempted in every point and likewise just like you and I are. And that's what makes him the great intercession for us, because he knows exactly what we're going through.
Yep.
Knows exactly what you're going through.
Amen.
Nothing that has happened to us takes him by surprise. He knows. And I can't think of anybody any better in your life who knows what you're going through to be intercessory for you to the throne of God. And the last thing he says, in giving of thanks. And Paul wrote time and time again. We could go back and look at those same passages tonight, and we won't for the sake of time, but he was thanking God for what he was doing in the lives of those who he was praying for. Giving of thanks. You know what? We got so much to be thankful for.
Yes.
And when we're in prayer and bow down in humble prayer to the God of heaven, we ought to thank God that things are not as worse as they could be. I think about Brother Griff again. Brittany called Monday morning and said, Dad, the car won't start. Listen. Tuesday. I got it right. The battery's dead. But you know what? She wasn't stranded. She's right there at her job. Just a week ago, she had driven up to North Carolina. She had driven up to heaven. Y'all get that, right? She went to heaven for the weekend. Came back through Georgia. Came back down through Alabama. No, just kidding. Amen. And it didn't happen there. Praise the Lord. It happened at her job. And I was sharing, Brother Wilbur needed a battery. And the battery had a warranty on it. So they prorated it. Didn't cost as much as it could have. But you know what that is? That's God. Just thank God. I'm just thanking God. Dad wallet ain't got nothing in it. But my Heavenly Father, He owns it all.
That's right.
And we ought to thank Him. I think about Miss Reva. You know what? She's doing all right tonight, ain't she, Andrew? The girls are doing okay, too, and they're traveling, ain't they? Amen. Jeffrey, doing okay, aren't you? Eyes are doing better. Dad's arm is not as bad as it could have been. Amen? Just thank God. Thank Him. Because we got so much to be thankful for. And our prayers ought to be that of thanksgiving. Thanking Him for what He's doing, because it could be a lot worse. There are so many situations that you all are in tonight, when you really think about it, that could be a lot worse. You know, when I think about all of the things that are going on in this world, I can't change any of them. But my Father can.
That's right.
And what God wants us to do is to beg Him in prayer to work. Because we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. And to them that are called according to what? His purpose. And God's got a purpose. And God has got a reason for all that's going on. But we got to have, prayer has got to have a priority in our life. And the preeminence of prayer is that it ought to be the first thing. And we need to be persistent in it. And we need to have a passion for it. And we need to practice those four things that Paul is writing to Timothy that he ought to do. Because it's going to make a difference in the society in which we live in. And we'll see that on hopefully on Sunday night. Amen?
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank You again for tonight. Lord, we thank You for Your blessings, and God, we thank You for the opportunity that we have tonight to come to You in prayer. And God, I don't know where everyone's at tonight, but You do. And I just pray through tonight's message that it would be a blessing and an encouragement to us on a Wednesday night about the importance of prayer. And may it not just be something that we take for granted when we think about all of the things that You could do and how You meet our needs, and how You want us as Your people who are called according to Your name, that we would humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked way, and we would hear from heaven. What a blessing it is to know that, God, that You are in complete control. But help us to have a heart and mind of humility tonight, that we would come to You in prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Maybe God has spoken in your heart tonight. We won't have an invitation tonight, but if you feel like tonight that God has spoken in your heart about something, you want to come before we go into prayer, that you want to come to an old-fashioned altar and pray and ask God to work in your life specifically about something that was said tonight, we give you an opportunity to do that if you have a desire to do that. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You know, nothing that you could do apart from this, if God is not your Heavenly Father. If there's never been a time in your life tonight where you can go back to that you didn't realize that you were a sinner and realize that Christ died for your sin and that you would ask Him tonight to save you from your sin, you know, God would do that. Because as this verse says down here just a little bit farther that we've read tonight, that there's only one God, there's only one mediator between us and God, and that is Christ Jesus. He's the one that died for our sins, that we might have a right to petition God for whatever it is that we have a need in our life. You know, the greatest prayer that you could pray tonight if you don't know Christ the Savior is to ask God to forgive you your sin and trust His Son, Jesus Christ, for your sins to be forgiven and to know Him as Savior. That's the greatest need you have tonight. But maybe if you're here tonight as a Christian and if you be honest, that He says, I exhort. In other words, He is admonishing us tonight, first of all, to pray. Make it a priority in our lives. Make it a priority and make it a practice. May we have the preeminence in our life. May it have its place where we are persistent in our prayers. And God, that we would be passionate about prayer and praying to the God of heaven. Father, thank you again for tonight. We pray and ask your blessings upon our time together as we go into an hour of prayer. I pray you bless that as well tonight. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.